Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 73, paragraph 1. Today's readers are Justine F. on the steps, Kathy B. will read the 12 traditions, Eileen M. will read the text, our closing will be read by Alex K., and our backup reader is Dana P. Announcements will be given by Shelley E. at the end, and Carla H. will greet our newcomers and take a list of available sponsors. So have a pen and paper ready for that if you're looking for a sponsor, if you want to call the newcomer. The reference numbers. The reference number for yesterday's Sunday special edition is 22,091, 22091. And this morning's 7 a.m. reference number is 22,092, 22092. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, this is Justine F. in Oregon, a compulsive overeater and bulimic gratefully in recovery today. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Justine S. from Oregon. And I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B., a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oklahoma. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. Our wonderful meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 73, paragraph 1. I will ask Eileen M. to begin reading for us.
Good morning, Jody. This is Eileen M. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart that he doesn't deserve it. I can really relate to this because this reminds me of keeping secrets. And I had a lot of secrets when I got here to OA that I was never going to tell anyone. And in the early days of OA, I thought it was all about looking good on the outside. And then if I look good on the outside, that's all that mattered. I looked like I had it all together. And I pretended that I had it all together, but I knew in my heart that I didn't. And there's a personal story in the Big Book that talks about, here's a quote that I got from that story. It's directly related to this. It says, I was judging myself by my intentions while the world was judging me by my actions. And that completely relates to this, in my opinion. That's in one of the personal stories. It might be the third edition, I'm not sure. But we're talking about step 5 here. And I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my throat this morning. So we're talking about step 5. And in step 5, our literature tells us that we have to tell someone else all of our life story because we may not recover if we don't do that. And, you know, step five is where I got to tell all my secrets. And I told all of my secrets that I thought I would never tell anybody. And, you know, I felt so much better after because somebody else knew me. Anyways, that really helped a lot in my recovery. So thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Okay, I will now take a list of people who would like to share on that paragraph. Again, we're on page 73, the first paragraph. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Deborah G. in California.
Deborah G. I got Deborah, but I didn't get the California lady.
Michelle. Michelle C. California.
Michelle C. Anyone else? Okay. We'll kick it off with Wendy B., Deborah G., and Michelle C. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And all these descriptions, you know, the double life, the actor, the stage character, you know, wanting to save his reputation. This reminds me, you know, of what a gift we have in program of being vulnerable and real with each other in our shares. And before coming into program, in my youth, I was always comparing myself less than others, and I was just so insecure in who I was that I couldn't be real. You know, I was just so busy trying to look like everyone else so I could be accepted, you know, and have a sense of belonging. And all that shifted after finding recovery and establishing a real relationship with God. You know, I came to know that God accepts the real me. He knows me intimately. He understands my background and what circumstances made me the way I was. And he revealed that, you know, he was with me through every stage of my life, you know, and he's orchestrating the circumstances necessary for him to shape me into who he intends me to become. And, you know, he helped me to shift my sense of being, you know, letting go of the less than, better than thinking and comparing. And, you know, he's helped me accept that, you know, we're all human and we are all loved and accepted. And we're all learning to save place for each other, you know, to be real and imperfectly perfect. And I'm just so grateful, you know, to be freed of the obsession, you know, to try to look good, you know, overly focused on appearances and always consumed with image management. And doing the work in this program, you know, has set me free to be me. And I'm just so grateful. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Deborah G., please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody, for your service and everyone that's meeting possible, and welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line with us today. And thank you also for the shares so far, 12-step in me, both the reader and share and Wendy. I just it's so lovely to hear others' words, and I can resonate with them and also see the reality with myself of, you know, needing to be real and honest with myself. And then when I'm real and honest with myself, then I'm real and honest with you. And there's a freedom in that too. It's like you can breathe. It takes a lot of, and also more energy, because it takes a lot of energy to put up a false facade, you know, that you think that other people should really see that is not really the truth. And I love it when I can just be me and just share what I need to share. Ask questions when I need to ask questions. And just be up there, up front and honest. I love, and it was reminded of me, just to be honest and humble and come from my heart. And I also can share where how I would put out there, you know, I was still doing alcoholic foods and not doing what I needed to be doing for my recovery, and putting out there that I was doing that, you know, and not sharing, hiding, you know, hiding, doing my foods at home, you know, eating my alcoholic foods at home, or eating, doing all the things that evolved around keeping that that disease going in my head and with my food. It was just suffering, you know, just suffering. And I'm just so glad I found this program and I found a way out, and I can just be who I am, you know, and people love me for being who I am. That was the other thing. I thought people wouldn't love me, but they do love me for just being me. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Michelle C. from California. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. This is Michelle C. in California. This is my first time sharing at this meeting. And thank you, Wendy in Colorado, for encouraging me to share. I just can relate so much to this chapter, as most people are that in the outside world are really surprised that I struggle with food and addictive behavior, because I think I put together this air of being someone who has it all together, being well organized, being a super project manager and a super mom. But deep down inside, I'm just this compulsive overeater and have a lot of compulsive behaviors. So for me, I'm really struggling with abstinence, struggling with working the steps right now, working on step 3 today. And I just cried this morning as I was reading the How It Works chapter about rarely have we seen someone fail who has thoroughly followed our path, and how they talk about being, you know, those who do fail are those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And, you know, that's the point where I'm at today, where I'm noticing that I'm struggling to be honest with myself. And I am terrified to work the steps. And I think I get a preview of what goes on in step 5 now, but I'm scared. And abstinence and how to define abstinence. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass today.
Thank you so much, Michelle C. from California. Okay, if you just came in, we are on page 73. The first full paragraph, which begins, "More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life." Who else would like to share, who hasn't shared in the last 3 days or so?
Bruce E., Florida.
Bruce E., gotcha, Bruce.
Sandy K. in Florida.
Sandy K.
Cheryl
F. Only state that's warm this today. Cheryl S.
Mm-hmm. From Nevada.
Nevada, gotcha. Okay, we'll go with those three, Bruce E., Sandy K., and Cheryl S. Take it away, Bruce.
All right. Thanks, Jody. I'll try to take it away here. I won't take it anywhere, though. I will bring it right back here. Yeah, well, all of my life I've lived this double life. I'm living it less and less now since program, and more in the present, and more into who I am, accepting myself for who I am, living who I am and who God created me to be, flaws and all. You know, I'm accepting my flaws and living life, trying to live life to help myself and help others, help myself to get better and help others to get better. But I did live a double life, you know, and I still want to go back. I still want to you know, revert back to that, default back to that when I don't like the life I'm living. You know, I go back and live another life, you know, and I'll be somebody else, you know. I'll be a, you know, a football player or something, you know, or a war hero or something like that. But there was a period of time when I was really in the disease where I actually assumed other names and lived in different places under other names. And, yeah, I guess I didn't like who I was. You know, I wanted to hide who I was. So I would live, you know, my life being somebody else. And now looking back on that, there was absolute insanity and craziness, you know. And I got to be a good actor. You know, I could be a good actor. I can let you know, man, I can show you the good side of me. I can really impress you with who I am, you know. But that's not, is that who I really am? You know, who I really am is Bruce. And, you know, I live here and, you know, I'm in recovery and I have some flaws, you know. And, but I'm working hard on it. So I, to my outer world, I present this stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. You know, I want you to see the best part of me so I can impress you, so I can feel good about myself. You know, I want everybody to like me so I can feel good about myself. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart of hearts he doesn't deserve it. I don't deserve to be a good person, right? Even though I am, you know. I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person getting well. That's what I am. I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a good person, though. I really am. I really try to help myself and help other people to get better. I try to make this a better world to live in. But in way down in my heart, I think, no, man, I don't deserve any of that. I don't deserve to be called a good person. You know, I don't deserve it. But I really do. And so I'm getting well. You know, again, not a bad person trying to get better, a sick person getting well. And hey, that's all right with me. Thanks, Jody, and I passed.
Thank you, Bruce, from Florida. Brucey, Sandy K, please take it away.
Hi, thank you. This is Sandy K, recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Wow, recovered compulsive overeater. That's a big deal. and I've been recovered for a long time, not cured, but recovered. I want to share on this paragraph, I don't want to say being on the other side, because I am never on the other side. No matter how many years I'm in program, I'm always finding how I can get better. I'm always getting these aha moments. So, but a couple of things crossed my mind when the reader, the original reader was reading, and that is I belong to a book club. And we read a lot of books. Some of those books I really don't like. I don't show up at the, I either don't show up at that book club that month because I didn't read the book because I knew I wouldn't want to read that subject. Well, I was there last week, and everyone was talking about the book, and they said, did you finish? I said, no. I said, I read the first 35% of the book, and I said, I just really, that subject upsets me, and I didn't want to read it. I said, but I really am happy to listen to everyone else. Before program, I would never have said that. Even if I didn't read the book, I would have found something like Cliff Notes for that book or whatever. But that's who I am. I want people to know who I am, as opposed to somebody else said, you know, being dishonest because I wanted to fit in. So there's a lot of growth in my self-confidence and being able to show who I am with no secrets is such a freedom, such a relief. And the other thing I wanted to share is I am going, if something doesn't happen, to be struggling with money. I retired, I thought, right before COVID, and now I'm now have to go back to work sporadically, work, not full time, but sporadically. And not everybody knows that. I mean, I don't show up in rags places. But I qualified at a meeting last night, and I shared that, you know, that I have to go back to work, not just because I want to. I have to go back to work because I really need the money. And that, boy, that's probably the most humble thing I can say. And that's just because of working the program, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandy from Florida. And Cheryl S., please, it's your turn.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, and I am a compulsive overeater, and relapse is part of my story. Wow, this paragraph right here is so powerful to me because this sums me up. You know, I am a liar, and it tells me I'm a liar because I live a double life. You know, I'm one thing on the outside, and I'm something else on the inside. And that double life is killing me. It is absolutely killing me because of the shame and the guilt. And so, I just so much struggle. The one gal that shared about how she's really struggling, I totally get that. And then, I got to just take a breath here. I would lie on my nightly review. I would leave things out. I didn't want my sponsor to know, you know, what I had actually done during the day. And I could not make sense of that. Because I wanted recovery so bad, you know, I was doing everything, and I wanted it, and I was with God, but I just couldn't bring myself, if I ate off my food plan during the day, to admit that. And I thought that the reason that I did that was because I was afraid she would fire me or that she wouldn't like me, and I can never really put that together because she is the kindest person ever and is loving and kind and wants the best for me. And so when I would try and even explain that to myself, it just didn't ring true. And then Bruce E. just said something that made it all make sense to me. The reason that I'm not honest is because I want to feel good about myself. It always goes back to selfishness. And that, it was, Brucey, forever I will love you and you will be in my prayers for saying what you just said, that simple thing. I tell you what I think you want to hear, not so that you'll like me, because I really don't care, because I'm selfish. But so I can feel good about myself. That is so profound. And, you know, for me, I just know no matter what, I'm just going to keep coming back. And no matter what, I'm going to find a way to live in this program without guilt and shame, because that is the only way I'm ever going to be able to keep this, to stay abstinent. I cannot stay abstinent if I'm not being truthful. If I'm not being truthful, thank you. I live in guilt and shame, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Okay, we have time for more shares. We are on page 73.
What page are you on?
Page 73, the first paragraph. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. Who else would like to share?
Betsy H.
Ainsley in Michigan.
Michigan, say your name again.
It's Ainsley.
Ainsley, okay.
Carla H., California.
Carla H., California. All right, let's go with that group. We have Betsy H., Pauline P., Ainsley, and Carla H. Please go ahead, Betsy.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. And I think when I read this paragraph and I think about this and I think about sharing the things I'm ashamed about myself with another person, in other words, during the fifth step, it brings up fear. It brings up like these fears of like, oh my gosh, I've done the stuff that I feel shameful about in my life, you know, like most human beings, probably all human beings have fallen short. And then I think it's a scary feeling because it's a feeling of like, maybe I'm not good enough, I think is the fear underneath of it. I'm just not good enough and I won't be able to recover and I won't, and maybe God will, my higher power would reject me. And, but I find my experience with working the steps and sharing the fifth step is that, yes, it is humbling to admit like, yeah, I screwed up. You know, I did this stuff and I really feel bad about it. But it was such a positive experience to just admit that to God, to myself, and to another human being doing the fifth step. And I really, it set me free from that, being trapped in that shame about it. And, you know, different things I've done, people I've been mean to, you know, my bad behavior, sexual stuff, different, you know, I stole food from people, you know, I even stole some stuff from some family members. And but going through this process of looking at my part and then cleaning it up and then making amends, steps 8 and 9, it really set me free from that, where I didn't have to be like a prisoner to, you know, my mistakes of the past or my bad behavior of the past. And actually, like, after sharing the fifth step, like, hey, this is what I've done, you know, I don't feel good about. I felt so much lighter. I just felt like so much self-esteem. I felt like it says in the book, like I could look the world in the eye. And, you know, I think it's a very human thing to screw up in life, to make mistakes. It can be very messy here, this life. But, you know, I learned that, you know, whatever I've done in the past, whatever screw-ups I might have done today, I can work the steps, I can be part of the fellowship, and I can recover, and I don't have to compulsively overeat over it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H. from California. Pauline, it's your turn.
Is Colleen P.
Yes.
From Lewis, Delaware? Hi.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I always, the first time I heard the path to hell was paved with good intentions was 40 years ago in the treatment center, and I was all about good intentions. Hell yeah. It was of the highest. And my actions, I never could follow through with those. But what I really need to talk about today is about fear of intimacy, you know, in any way. It can, when I really connect with somebody, it is so, I don't know, you know, it's certainly when I was drinking, it led to, you know, there were no boundaries. And so I'm married, and I went to this thing that I had no idea. To make a long story short, it was wonderful. There was music and there was dancing, and I danced with another woman. And, you know, nothing came of it. So, you know, I wasn't interested. I was just having fun. But there's a sense of shame. Oh, my God. And shame really is a terrible thing to, you know, it goes back. It's historical. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I have a program. I can talk about it. I can certainly write about it, and I will talk to my sponsor about it. She's not available right now. But, you know, the truth sets us free, and it takes so much diligence to, you know, I admire everybody that does these 10 steps. I know how to do it. I know what I'm working in another program about historical stuff. And it's just, you know, just resonates that our higher power does know all of us. And, you know, this idea that I thought when I first came in that I was a control freak, you know, it's taken me years to realize that I am. And that, you know, it was so obvious to everybody else but me. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it until my daughters started to have problems. And I was of absolute, I was causing more havoc as a sober person than one could imagine. So here I am, humbly telling you who I am. And that's how it works for me. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Pauline P. from Delaware. Ainsley, I didn't catch the initial of your last name.
Hi, this is Ainsley F. in Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for the topic today. You know, when I was listening to it, it was a long time. I was married. My first marriage was to an alcoholic when I was really young. And for a long time, I wasn't able to read the big book for myself just because I had those lenses on. And so I used the OA literature for a long time, which was great. But I'm now at a place where I'm using the big book the last couple of years. And I'm glad that I'm able to apply it to myself. When I read this particular paragraph, I still thought of my ex-husband because he very much led a double life. But I also know from being in recovery that, you know, a lot of times if you spot it, you got it. And thinking about, you know, in what ways have I either led a double life or lied about things. And, you know, when I was in high school and college and using drugs, it was very clear that I was lying, and I knew I was lying to everybody. But, you know, now in my 40s, it's kind of like I have trouble with boundaries of there's sometimes where I am still telling, you know, what I think of as white lies, but then there's other times that I overshare with unsafe people and thinking that I have to because I have to be honest. And I'm trying to learn, you know, what those boundaries look like. And I know one of those things is I need to be totally honest with my sponsor because that's someone I've chosen that I've chosen to trust. But it's it's been difficult for me to learn this, what feels like kind of a gray area. And I don't feel like I do it to make myself feel better. Sometimes I overshare to make myself feel better. But my 8-year-old has recently been in a phase where she's telling a lot of like little white lies. And I asked her one time why she did it, and she said, well, it just seems like an easier way to get what I want. And that really stuck with me. That was very honest of her. And that really stuck with me. And so I've been saying to myself, okay, am I looking for an easier way to get what I want? And that's how I try to examine, especially my food behavior. Okay, am I not being totally honest with myself because this is an easier way to get what I want? So so that's kind of the measure I'm using today to look at that. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ainsley F. from Michigan. Carla H., it's your turn.
Thank you so much, Jody. Welcome home, everyone. I'm Carla, compulsive overeater, and I love this paragraph because I was 65 when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, and I lived the actor. That was my reality. That was my concept of myself, was this actor. I had done it for so many years that I actually did believe that's who I was. What happened for me in this 12-step methodology, when I got to step 4, I was aghast, and I was opened up and cracked open to the truth of who I really was, and it was devastating. And when I knew that truth, I began to see. I still am in that process. I haven't arrived at anything. 5 years and 8 months later, I'm still given new awarenesses of who I really am. But what I began in that process, after my first fifth step, after I was through the steps and abstinent a year, I was still so unsteady in who I was. And so I began this matching, this transparency where my outsides and my insides began to match. I began to build my authentic self by being authentic, and then to build my self-esteem by doing esteemable acts. As I allow myself to be honest, it builds a desire to be honest. When I authentically walk through a situation, allowing myself to be who I really am, allowing my creator to have my creator's way in me, bringing me to a place that the way I am, the acceptance brings the serenity. I haven't arrived at anything. One day at a time, I'm turning, asking to be empowered to walk authentically in my abstinence and in my being. So thanks so much for allowing me to share, and thanks everyone for your service. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Carla H. from California. We have time for one, maybe two more people. Who would like to share?
Hiya.
Okay. Anyone else?
Christiana K. from California.
Christiana. Okay, let's go with Hiya and Christiana. Please go ahead, Hiya.
Hi, it's Kaya from New Jersey.
Kaya.
Until my second child was born, I was able to pretend that I didn't have this food addiction, because at least outwardly, because I had an incredible metabolism and I was in a thin body. And since then, I couldn't hide my addiction with my constant gaining weight. And it was very painful and shameful. And it was a constant reminder to myself, and felt like an advertisement to the world, that I have this severe food addiction. And when I did a thorough fifth step, I felt lighter and less ashamed of my overweight body, and I'm slowly losing the weight and feeling much better about myself. I continue to do 10 steps every day and give my character defects to my creator, and he's happy to take them on his strong shoulders. And I find that I tend to take back my character defects, and then I need to do a 10th step and or pray and ask my creator to take them again. And it's a continuous journey. And when I pray and allow my creator to take my character defects, I feel so much better. And I need to face these character defects and acknowledge and identify them to be able to pray about them and ask my creator to take them and to become willing for my creator to take them from me. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Kaya from New Jersey. Christiana, I didn't get the initial of your last name. Christiana, press star one.
This is Christiana Kay, compulsive overeater in Northern California. Thank you so much for, I forgot the name of the person who got us started. And for everybody who shared so far, I got so much out of everyone's share. And it's good, it's comforting to know that I'm not the only one who enjoyed living a double life, right? I still can get into that mode very easily today, because I don't want other people, other human beings, to see that I'm flawed, right? I want to appear perfect. This is so silly because we're all imperfect, but that desire to show one thing and be another is just makes me react in all kinds of ways, right? Lie, pretend, but because of the steps, and because of my sponsor, I don't have to do that today. And like it's been shared here, there's such freedom in being real and honest. I knew there were benefits to being real and honest because I heard other people share, but I didn't. The freedom was a surprise. I didn't anticipate that, and there is such freedom in being real and honest. And one of the biggest gifts I think that came with that is that I, you know, before the steps, I loathed myself. I couldn't be with myself. I didn't like to look in the mirror. I didn't like myself, right? And through the program, I discovered that I love my company today. I go on solo trips often because I enjoy my company so much. It's because I'm not pretending to be somebody else, even to myself. I mean, how crazy is that? But I couldn't look at myself before, and now I can. And I am so, so grateful for that. It is such a big gift from the program. So, Christiana, compulsive overeater in Northern California, thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Christiana K. from California. We have like 1 minute. Does somebody want a real quick share?
Vanessa,
okay, Vanessa, please be quick. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'll try to do 30 seconds. You know, I used to pride myself at being able to fit in with just about anybody. And I could form, you know, a superficial relationship based on who they were. And what I have found in program is that my authenticity increases in direct proportion to my relationship with a higher power. And it's a circular thing. The more I find God in this program, the more I find myself. And also the more I face myself, the more I am able to find God. It's a wonderful process. It's a never-ending process. And I hope that I always seek it. I want to know. I want to know who I really am. And I want to be that authentic self and own it. And be comfortable within myself.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is time. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Wonderful meeting everyone. Thank you all for your shares. Thank you to our readers. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Jody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.